or good afternoon. Our first one is our honorary Nina Posipacker clerk. Nina, you want to just give us a quick overview of your different segments of your budget, please?
Absolutely. So I thought the best way to approach this is to give you an idea of the volume of what we do and the monies that we collect. So last year, we collected over $23 million in gross revenues, which was an increase of $1.8 million over 2016. This year, we're up to about $19 million right now through September, which means we'll most likely surpass our last year's numbers as far as our gross receipts. It'd be nice if the county got to keep all that, but unfortunately, the majority of that goes to the state. So the county portion of this revenue in 2017 was $2.8 million. We had projected for this year $2.7 million, and we look like we're right on budget for that. We should hit about, based on everything that we've taken in so far, which is about $2 million, we should hit about that $2.7 million figure for 2018. We are relatively conservative, but we did bump up the revenues a little bit for 2019 to $2.8 million, which is a $100,000 increase. And we really, we saw that in 2017. This year it's going to be a little lower, so I hope we hit that $2.8 million mark, but that's what we're projecting for next year's budget. Mortgage tax, I know mortgage tax is always a big question in people's minds. We took in $5 million last year in mortgage tax. We collected $4.4 million through this year. To give you an idea, if you take October, we do semi-annual reports, and I know you're all familiar with that because we come before the legislature.
It's not in the budget. The county, it's okay. Not a county expense or revenue. The county is just a pass-through.
Oh, so you don't really capture, but
we capture it in our financial system, right. But it's not as part of the operating budget.
Okay.
Well, you count it as a revenue coming in.
It's not a revenue. It's a money that comes in with a trust and agency account and gets paid out of that same account.
It does translate into transactions for your people, right?
Correct. That would be correct. So that $5.5 million that we take in are all the mortgages that we record throughout the year. In addition, the county does get $175,000 in expenses. We get $14,000 a year, which we take a percentage from the state money and the town money. The town, we collect 0.75%. A 0.5% goes to all the towns. 0.25% goes to the state. Of that, we take out our $14,000 a month, which equates to about $175,000 a year that the county retains for our services for processing this. To give you an idea, because I know this has been a little bit of a topic this year, we do the semi-annual report. So from October 17th through March 18th, that's our semi-annual reporting period, we increased our mortgage tax revenue by 17% to the towns over the same period in 2016-17. Now you go to April 18th to September 18th, which is our most recent one, and we only increased our amount by 8.86%. My point being is it's really difficult to look at the real estate market and say what our revenues, and that's what really drives most of our revenues. Everything else, our courts, DMV, it's a set 12.7% for DMV. Courts, it's a certain dollar amount based on the type of transaction that we're doing. So it is a little bit of a moving target.
Mortgage is based on volume.
Yes. And mortgages are based, like the town of Ulster is going to get a tremendous amount of money this reporting period because the Tembrook Commons was sold and there was a huge mortgage. So sometimes the towns can really have a windfall and other times they may not get quite as much. And I think for town supervisors, it's very difficult at times because that's part of their budget and they're constantly calling us and it's difficult to say. I can tell you, just to give you an idea of the volume of work that we do in the county clerk's office, in our recording department, we did over 120,000 financial transactions. We processed over 51,000 documents. In addition, we scanned 655,000 images, and we actually initiated 3,700 civil cases. Our office processed 5,500 pistol permits. Motor vehicle, we had transactions of 113,000. 14,886 dealer transactions and 4,600 enforcement transactions, which are your DWIs, your insurance lapses. And the things to take in consideration here are DWI, insurance lapses. Those are very lengthy, time-consuming transactions that we get very little money from the state to do, but take time to do. We served over 4,300 customers last year between 8 and 9 in the morning and 1,800 customers on Thursday evenings. Very popular times. Again, no cost to the county. Another thing I like to emphasize, since 2010, we have had the same identical 50 employees in our office for the past 8 years, with volume increasing over that time frame. Last year was the first year we increased our employees by one, which I did come before the committee and request that, and that was for a motor vehicle cashier. And we can get into this subject if you like, but that's because of real ID and enhanced driver's licenses that has caused such an impact on our office. And that additional employee has helped us tremendously. Originally, they were brought in to do dealer work because the dealer work has become so voluminous. Plus, we make a lot of money on dealer work, so it increases our revenue. But right now, we're trying to keep our head above water with the real ID and enhanced driver's licenses. Our haul of records last year, microfilmed 351,000 images. They scanned 223,000 digital images, and they took 1,700 cubic feet of records into our facility and did 5,900 reference requests. And just to give you an idea of in-house storage as opposed to the record center, we saved the county last year $155,000 by moving from prime office space into an off-site storage facility. If you want to look at the record center from 1988 to today, we saved the county over $4.8 million by being able to do that and put it into a storage warehouse type of facility. Another thing that people don't realize, the county clerk's office oversees the person house. And since 2010, when we took it over, 26,000 visitors have gone through the person house, and over 3,000 this year alone. So we're very varied in what we do. I mean, I can go on and on. I don't want to waste your time or our time or anybody's on issues that you're not interested in. So I thought if you have questions for me, it would be the best way to proceed.
Lynn?
First of all, thank you for coming. This is great for us to understand all the different elements of what you
sure.
and your department does. I noticed that for all the changing and the flat department, that pretty much flat, that you have very little overtime projected. And so have you gone about, I mean, 50 people and all the different hours, et cetera? I mean, is it your scheduling plan? Is it, you know?
Yeah, that's a great question. So some of it is by implementing technology. When we put in the queuing system for DMV, that really was a very efficient way for us to manage our staff. We're able to see, I can from my office see at any time how many customers are in a queue, what transactions are waiting. We can take something like a plate surrender, which is a very easy transaction, and move those people in and out very quickly as opposed to a more lengthy transaction. So I think the implementation of technology, we also have in our recording department, we're installing a new system which we're hoping will allow us to do e-recording and e-filing, which will reduce the volume. If you could see the volumes of paper in our office and the scanning, well, over a 500,000 documents last year we scanned in. And so I think through utilization of technology, we have a wonderful staff. They really work very, very hard, and those are really the ways that we've really maintained our office and have not used overtime. I don't believe in overtime. I believe you either need to expand your staff or you need to manage your staff, because I don't think overtime, yes, for a particular project. Mm-hmm. If you're using overtime for the county clerk's office, I can only speak for throughout the year, then you're not managing your staff right, or you need to reevaluate that you need more staff.
And year over year, your numbers have steadily been increasing?
Yes. Yes, we have. Yeah.
Well, don't cut yourself short. It's because of your management and your department head management.
Thank you.
You oversee that department very well. Nina, in personnel lines, there was a county clerk, records clerk, that went from 37,456 down to 29,396, from what I see here. What actually happened there?
Sure, it was a long-term employee that left, and we hired at the entry level rate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Know, when you do DWI, do you get money out of dedicated DWI fund, or is that?
We don't. We do not.
Is that contrary to law? You can't claim money from that fund.
Yes, the law, the statute is that it goes into the Stop DWI program, and at one time we did. That's a great question. When Al Spire was a county clerk and Judge Boone was the county court judge, we actually went back and many of the people that have DWI fines against them do not pay those fines. And we actually went back to the judge and he put warrants out for the arrest and actually pulled them back into court. And we received a percentage of all of those back fines that we collected at that time. But that was a unique situation that occurred, so normally goes into the Stop DWI.
Has your association made this a priority for legislative change?
So the priority for our organization is to increase our, we get 12.7% of every DMV transaction that we do. So what they're trying to do is increase the percentage that we get on these DWI transactions, as well as all motor vehicle transactions, and especially the real ID, because it is so time consuming.
Tracy?
So I had a question about that. I recall at an earlier meeting you talked about the move to get more people to renew, that just very simply to renew their licenses here, or to send them to Ulster County versus sending them off to Albany or wherever they go. How has that, have you seen results in upping those numbers?
That's a great question. So we do track. We track by registrations, driver's license, etc. So our registration renewals are up by, I'm going to say, 5%, which is not a tremendous amount, but it's an awareness campaign, and we keep putting that out there. And we're trying to make it easier. So another thing that we have done is, and again, it's getting the word out is so difficult. We have started an appointment system in the DMV. So probably 50% of you here don't know that you can go right online on the county clerk website, and you can make an appointment for 11 o'clock tomorrow morning to renew your registration. You'll get a little confirmation number. You come into the kiosk, press appointment. They ask you for the confirmation number, and at 11 o'clock, your number will come up on our kiosk, and you can renew your registration. So that's just another way. We're just trying to, yeah, yes.
I mean, one thing, this is maybe off the subject of budget, and maybe it's not allowed, but one thing I just started to think about is, you know, we send out tax bills to everybody, and can we not put a little flyer in the tax bill mailer? Are we legally not allowed to
no.
do that?
No, you can't do that kind of advertising.
Oh, it's too bad.
Why not? The towns can.
State law prohibits it.
Why don't we just tell the towns to put it on their tax bill?
They can't do anything. No.
Well, they are able to put various things on their tax bill.
Very legally, but you can put factual statistical information.
We asked that.
Can you do auto registration and license renewal for people that live in Ulster County?
I'm sorry, what's that, Jerry?
Can you do auto renewal and license registration for people who are, say, weak?
The only thing you can renew your car online. You cannot renew your driver's license online if you do not have an eye test done by an eye doctor. You have to come into the office because you have to have an eye test done. Or if you want a real ID or an enhanced driver's license, you have to come into our office.
But you can do out-of-county people in Ulster County, because people in Ulster County can go to Orange County to renew.
Oh, sure. We can do anyone in the state. Matter of fact, when we started to go down to Walk Hill, to the town hall in Shongham, we get a lot of Orange County people there. Mm-hmm. Yes, quite a few.
I saw kiosks out, too, on 90. Did you remember seeing the DMV kiosks?
Oh, really? No.
Yeah.
Tracy,
must be state.
So you talk about the person house. Where the expenses for the person house, they're contained in buildings and grounds. They're not in your department, correct?
So that's a great question, because the expenses are absolutely minimal. So the maintenance is in, just like all the other buildings, in buildings and grounds.
Right.
And how we staff the person house is that we utilize our part-time money during the summer months. And we hire interns, because we're actually only, there's no heat. Mm-hmm. So we're only open full time from Memorial Day through Labor Day. And then we're open on Saturdays through Thanksgiving. So we utilize part time help, or in the fall, we utilize interns from New Paltz that sign up to come for that one day a week. And that's the only cost other than the maintenance and upkeep. Mm-hmm. And we've received two grants to actually put permanent exhibits into the person house through the state archives.
Okay. Craig?
Yeah, just to follow up on what Tracy had mentioned, are there specific guidelines as to what we can and cannot include with the tax bill? Because I thought that there's been surveys that have gone out in the past along with the tax bill, no? Or is it?
There's some very specific opinions of the state controller and others that give you guidelines. You can't do anything of a political nature or any advertising, but you can provide, you know, factual data like we did. You know, this is our total budget, here's the total taxes, here's the, you know, how much of it is state mandated. We can do something like that, that we do.
We're going to have Amber look into it and, you know, come back to us.
Because
and see
it
exactly
strikes
what
me
you
as
do.
The as the right place to be able to say to Ulster County taxpayers that you can keep more of your tax money here if you renew your license.
I agree.
Here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just as simple, like it. That simple fact.
Yes.
Because it's the time when they're writing their checks. You know. Mm-hmm. So
we'll
so
have
right.
Amber
think
look
about
into
your money.
See exactly
here.
What we can state on the tax bill.
I'm pretty confident.
All right, we'll find out. Any other questions? Nanny, you do a great job.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you, everyone, for giving me the opportunity to come. Thank you.
You're more than welcome to stay here than to everybody else, too.
I would be more than happy. I have an officer on downstairs, right. So you know how that goes.
You don't have to put overtime
you.
In, right?
No thank overtime, you. Right? I have to get back
thank
down.
You.
Thank you.
Ed, I think we're going to take you.
Yeah, I just sent Sherry an email asking her to come up, but I don't. So, Ed, it's fine.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Hi, everyone.
Hi. Is that Jordan of purchasing?
I appreciate that. How are you, Ed?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thanks for having me today.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Your show.
Okay, I'm going to start off just a description of the department. We have two divisions. We have 8 people in the purchasing department on the third floor, and we have 2 downstairs in the mailroom. I'm going to give you some numbers, year-to-date numbers, similar to what Nina did. For purchase orders thus far year to date, we've done 3,850 versus 3,880 in 2017. Bids, we've done 50 year to date versus 45 last year. Capitals, 15 versus 17 last year. And RFPs, 24 versus 23 last year. So we're a little ahead of the total solicitation number as opposed to last year with 2 months to go. We have applied postage to 298,000 pieces of mail so far this year. For inserting vendor checks, taxes, W-2s, etc., 81,000 pieces. We did school tax bills in August and September. That was 68,000 pieces. And we have the property taxes coming up in December, 80 to 85,000 pieces.
These numbers are inclusive in the 298, or they're on top of the 298?
They're separate. We use the inserting machine to do those pieces, and then we also run them through the postage. Okay. So they're included in the 298.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 911 pieces, UPS. So as far as the budget, basically for expenses, with revenue, benefits, and our miscellaneous contract expenses, which are postage, it comprises 94% of our entire expense. I can go down the line. Account 1300 regular pay is budget for $555,272.
I mean, it's part of our budget. We
okay.
Can look into our budget. You don't have to go by each line.
Okay.
Unless somebody wants each line.
I can mention a few things. Mm-hmm. We have a line for part-time pay, which we didn't have last year, $10,000. And that's just if we need additional help in the mailroom during the busy periods that I just referred to, which is property taxes or school taxes. The election's a busy period as well. So we put a line
if
there.
I could add, what happens right now a lot of times is that you have a buyer or like a deputy purchasing director will have to run downstairs and help out the mailroom either on a vacation or other time, and so we just added a part-time line to fill in for that so that those folks who are buyers can focus on doing buyer work and not going down into the mail.
Okay. So the longevity pay is $3,500 for the director and $577 prorated for the deputy. Supplies lines $12,000, of which is $2,000 for the van for fuel and $10,000 for office supplies. Including supplies, naturally, for the mailroom. The professional services line is $5,000, broken into $2,500 for our legal notices, for the newspapers publishing our bid and our RFP announcements in Ulster Publishing and the Shawangunk Journal, and $2,500 for business credit checks with Dun & Bradstreet.
So why did that go up? It's like almost doubled. Am I reading that right?
No, that's the next line.
Oh, okay.
No. The next line is the leases and rental.
Sorry, thank you.
Right. Leases and rentals. We have the Pitney Bowes postage machine rentals, which has been $38,380 a year. We added $25,200 for the mail finance folder inserter equipment. That's not an increased expense to the county. It was part of the IS budget because that equipment used to be over at IS, but when we moved the mail room into the basement, we took on that equipment, so they decided that we should have that under our budget. So it's not an increase to the county budget. It's just transfer from one department to another.
So that was
$25,200 for the mail finance folder inserter equipment. $3,000 is conference expenses, just continuing education for the purchasing department. We have some new employees. We've had a lot of turnover over the last few years because of retirements. We've got another one coming up this year, so it's just important that we were able to attend seminars, webinars, purchasing conferences. Sometimes we're able to get those comped. If you have new employees, you get scholarships, which is what we've been able to do this year. But we think it's important to keep that line. And then the miscellaneous contract expenses is the postage. Year to date, we've spent $323,000 for postage, and that includes the UPS PO boxes fees, business reply accounts, and mostly just putting the postage in the Pitney Bowes machines.
So, just so I'm clear, the machine. The actual mail machine was 25.2. That wasn't the Pitney Bowes machine.
Bowes machine is 13,300. That's where we put all the envelopes in to apply postage to. The folder inserters are whenever we,
tax bills,
paychecks, they run through.
Bowes was always part of your budget.
Yes.
Pitney Bowes was always part of the budget.
There.
And mail finance was part of the IS budget.
So it's just the inserter that is the additional money that came from IS
that's
into
correct.
Your department.
That's
Thank
correct.
You.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Revenues. We have $40,000 budgeted, and that's for departmental income. That's comprised of the vending machines, $10,000, and chargebacks to the New York State courts, $30,000. Year to date, that total out of is $25,713. And then you have the intrafund revenues for reimbursable departments of $120,000 budgeted. Year to date is $86,222. And if you need the breakout by departments, I have that information.
Tracy?
When you say the vending machines, you mean like the concession vending machines with the sodas? And mm-hmm. How many do we have?
I should check in.
There's 10 to 12. Besides the ones in this building, there's some in health department. Don, I guess, was involved in doing kind of under John Paradis had done a vending machine audit. So I believe you guys have all the machines listed out, but there's a couple over at DPW. They're at each of the facilities.
And this is like, this the 10,000 is a commission on sales? Is that
we
what
get a
it
commission
is?
On
sales. Okay, so maybe we're curious.
There's no chargeback for sending out school district tax bills? Is that common practice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The intrafund revenue.
That's
a reimbursable department.
DSS
is the biggest one.
Sheriff, health department. For this year.
If they could get direct bills, you'd have to do that.
Hector.
It's okay if you don't have the answer, but meaning, and this is something we can discuss offline later on. But I mean, at a certain point, have we ever considered things like? You know, you can do first class pre-sorted, you know, t- to be able to kind of cut down on certain costs here and there, especially when you're sending out things that are happening at the same time, like, for example, you know, tax bills or any of those kinds of things. And I don't know, do we actually utilize that at all?
We do. We had significant savings my last couple of years. Dominic and Kyle, especially with elections pieces.
So, so that's actually included in your postage line already, meaning you've already done that.
Bert? Hector, just with that, you know, I send out foreclosure notices. The state requires me to send regular mail and certify.
I'm just kind of giving you that example.
That's all.
Question. James? Did I hear you mail now the school district bills? Did I hear somebody say
no, they pick them up.
They pick them up.
Yeah. Okay. We don't mail them.
No, I'm sorry.
We fold and stuff.
That's correct.
We do not mail.
Is that something new? Because a couple of years ago, I always talked to the school people regularly, and they're down in the basement folding and stuffing themselves.
Do we prepare the bills? No, the school district.
No, we get them from the school. We just fold them and stuff them, and they come and pick them up.
We're out of order.
Tracy?
So in the personnel lines, you have two lines that increased more substantially than others. The mail... RMCD and the secretary for the director of purchasing went from the secretary went from 30,171 to 59,670.
Well, the 30,000 line was for a part time. We were sharing that position with insurance, so we were paying 60%. So it was approximately $50,000. For that person's salary, she transferred to insurance full time. And then, as far as the other line, the mailroom coordinator, a desk audit was requested through CSEA, and he was given a promotion.
So, Ed, you went from a part time confidential secretary to a full time?
It was full time, Rich. It was just we were charging self insurance part of that salary.
But the insurance position wasn't deleted. That person's still in there?
No, that person's one position. Right. That person's now in a position administrative aid, but they're one less position over in self-insurance. In terms of that, half position's gone.
You just shifted it over is what you're trying to tell us, right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
No, overall we've eliminated
one half of a position. Right.
But the other half is now here, though.
No. Over, so there was.
Make sure I'm just looking at it right, because right now it just reads that.
There was two and a half.
Your expenses aren't reflecting it.
In self insurance, they are, if you look at their payroll.
Right. It's just getting rid of a part time in insurance. That's it.
Right.
Right.
A half time.
Right. 40%.
So we can confirm that that's in the budget.
How do you know? I mean, how do you know? Note that. I mean, it's just something you know internally. For example, in the previous year, it had an asterisk
in a previous budget.
Okay.
Can I make a request,
and maybe we could just even think about it? This isn't to purchasing, but to the format of the budget. It would be so helpful for me, I don't know if everyone else feels the same, if these personnel lines were integrated throughout the budget next to where their departments were, so that I didn't have to constantly do this flipping.
It's just two different documents.
Okay.
Maybe we can think about it because it takes a lot of time. I'm working with two systems like you when it comes to the payroll system and finance system. So maybe just in terms of creating the document, we can think about it for next year.
If I could jump back to the mailroom coordinator, so they had requested a desk audit, which was the results of the desk audit was a 2-grade, but he also went into a higher
step increase that was significant too.
So it wasn't just the 2-grade and the desk audit that's reflected in the increase.
That's good. Yeah.
Plus 6%, right? Because it's CSEA. Mm-hmm. So it seems like a much larger jump than it really was.
Any other questions for Ed? If not, thank you for coming in.
One question. What are you projecting for RFPs in coming in 2019?
It's hard to say.
How do you put your budget together if you don't do some kind of projection on it?
Listing the RFPs is not part of the budget process. When a department needs to do an RFP, they'll let us know, but it's not something that's accounted for in the budget.
Is that figured into the capital improvement budget?
No. What we're saying is that if there's 30 RFPs or 24 RFPs, they're going to do it with the same staff. Right. It's not something that needs to be figured into the budget process.
No, I understand, but you know, when you talk about 23 last year, we're at 24 this year. Did I get that number right?
Yes.
With 2 months remaining, I would assume that you have to do some kind of projection or thinking about what's coming down the pipe, but departments don't give you an estimate of what they're going to do.
Sometimes they'll give us a heads up as to what's coming along, but you know.
So
we don't always get a notice.
Okay. So
certain projects we do.
The director and the deputy typically look. There's a running kind of running document of the RFPs. There's a lot of RFPs that we have to do every 3 or 4 years because it's a 3-year contract.
The bid buyer assignment. We have a bid buyer assignment.
Yeah. So he looks through that.
Right.
When I was there, Ed and I would sit once every couple weeks and go through and assign it. So we'd know what's coming up in the next year.
So you can account for those.
Well, I guess that's my point, then, as you're going through a budget cycle, to understand which ones are coming due or have another year of ability to renew, a conversation with the department head to say, are you going to renew or are you going to be going out? Should we be doing any best practice evaluation before you go out? I mean, I would think that's part of your cycle, you know, your process in planning, correct?
It's not a budgetary process, but I mean, we had those meetings late this summer where we looked at everything.
Let's ask a question. What does it take to put an RFP together?
I'll let Ed answer that.
Time-wise, personnel-wise?
Time-wise, RFPs are much longer than our typical bid process. That's because there's an RFP committee involved. So whereas when you send a bid out, you put it out for 3 or 4 weeks, you get the bid back, you can basically analyze the bid numbers and make an award within a week or so. When it comes to the RFP, you give the vendors longer time, hopefully 4 weeks, to send in their proposals. But after that, you have to set up an RFP committee that's done ahead of time. You have to send all the proposals to the committee. You have to schedule several meetings. And then if you need to get the vendors in to interview them, you have to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an extra 4 to 6 weeks on top of what a typical bid would be.
Any other questions? Ed, thank you for coming. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much.
Next, Sherry Cross, Director of Personnel. Sherry, it's not hot.
Hot seat.
It's air conditioning.
A little warm to me.
You can start wherever you want.
Well, I guess personnel department, we have our employees, number 12. Wasn't reduced from last year, but the year before we combined the confidential secretary with the receptionist, and she sits and answers the phone, does a lot of work for me and the office. That's the only other change. Personnel-wise, we have exam monitors in our part-time pay who does all the exams that are given on the Saturdays and administers those. We have very little overtime. Regular supplies, professional services. We have attorneys that we pay under our labor relations, other professionals, EAP services, those kinds of things. We do the medical and health, which are the physicals for the police officers. Well, they'd be sheriffs, deputy sheriffs, and correction officers if needed. We do, if we have to, Section 75 processes, other hearings. So we have a hearing officer. We have court transcripts. We do the training for the county, so we have a training. Advertising is our Hudson Valley Help Wanted. We do all the fingerprinting for the county employees, not for the sheriff's department, not for some of the DSS, and not for some of the UCAP, but for the general local law for us. Unemployment, we have people systems who assist us with disputing unemployment claims if we need so. We have one conference that we may attend, and that's in Albany this year, which we probably will, the Association of Personnel and Civil Service Officers. We have other labor relations kinds of things, PERB hearings up in Albany, so we have a little bit of travel for that. A couple of associations. The civil service, we get legal updates for those, and then general office supplies. We do the recognition awards for the employees, and that's a cost. And then our biggest expense, well, we do unemployment, which is not now not a big expense, and we have some educational training we have in there for labor management because we're responsible. So the biggest part of our expense comes out of the benefits, and that is for the health insurance for employees and retirees. Our retirees are will be going down this year because we have changed from MVP to an Aetna plan, which is essentially a half price, but the same coverage. So we will be going with that for them. The health insurance for employees and the premium equivalents have gone down due to the decrease in claims. Again, it's for 2019. You can't guarantee anything else after that because it is claims-based. So that's what we have done for that. We've changed our dental to MetLife, which will also realize a little bit of savings. We pay for our EAP, which is under there, under like $17,000. We pay separation pay is under ours. We have prescription rebates, which is a revenue. We get a little bit of revenue for personnel fees for the deputy sheriffs, for the physicals, and for all the exams that are taken. There is a fee associated with that. And this year we have corrections, which is a big one, which is why we are pretty high on our personnel fees that are coming in as department income. That's overall. What else?
Craig?
Yeah, just a quick question. The reception position that was eliminated, was that a salary base that was hourly? Or
it was hourly. It was hourly. Grade 7.
And the confidential secretary who took over those responsibilities, now did that just become part of her job description, or is she being compensated?
Well, she was an additional compensation, but not to the rate of what the other job was. It was just an additional compensation to do reception as well as all the clerical and confidential secretary work that I needed.
On the compensation, the additional?
It was like $10,000.
It was
2018, yes.
Tracy?
So the professional services line jumped about 20 something percent between 17 and 18. Do you know where the line is at currently in 18?
I don't have that. I have that.
And do you know what? Why do you account for the now relatively sustained rate, higher rate of that line?
Employment. I'd have to look at it through Bert.
It's been about $110,000 so far to date.
Okay.
Majority being labor relations.
Labor relations?
Yeah.
That's Romer Wallens. We've had a couple of suits that have taken place through 2018, finishing up from 2017, 2016. Negotiations as well.
But do we expect to? Do we have outstanding bills? I mean, do we expect to meet that $178,000 with you know 2 months to go?
Probably not. I'm
did
not.
Did you build your education training yet, Sherry?
No, we didn't do it. Can I just
see that? Yeah. Here's the detail.
That's what I think. Sorry.
Could we get the detail on the professional services? That would be helpful. Mm-hmm. I think just to see it broken down.
Mm-hmm. Amber, can you run that, or do you want me to?
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay.
I mean, it's already done, correct?
If that report's available. Yeah.
Oh, so
yeah.
It's all in the advertising, the court transcript, education and training, the hearing officer, labor relations,
and
legal, our medical health, and then the other fees.
But what I'm wondering is, did something happen between 17 and 18 that caused that jump that now we're sustaining? I mean, is there some difference between 17, what we were doing in 17, to what we're doing now?
I'm going to say we had a couple of lawsuits that were pretty intense that had begun, honestly, in 15, lingered in 16, started hitting in 17. Took a major in 18. They're being appealed.
Mm-hmm.
So that is out and above our retainer that we have with Romer Wallens. So those costs are what made it jump.
What's that?
Yep.
Jerry?
Do you have a separate cost center for services to local governments for Civil Service Administration?
No, it's general.
So do you know how much, how many people are dedicated to it?
Essentially,
do all the other localities that have to use the system in Ulster County?
Right, because it's all towns, villages, and libraries. And our employees, with the exception of Director of Employee Relations, everyone else has a major, well, if you took employee relations and some of the confidential secretary, although she does some work for it, they're the only two who are not administering civil service. And myself is part of a civil service.
But it's an integrated thing. Relations. You don't distinguish what you're doing for the county for what you're doing.
For the others.
Because it strikes me that, I mean, this is your business, but you could probably aggregate some of these numbers and show the localities what you're doing for them. Service you provide for no cost, and the administration of the personnel system you provide for no cost. Of course, they're going to say that it's a trade-off, but it's interesting. The second question is, how long does it take to fill a job once it's vacant in the county?
On average. It all depends, because it depends on what job it is. If it's a civil service competitive job and there's an eligible list, the first thing that you have to do is you have to send out a canvas. And we've just increased the canvas response to 10 days. So you have to develop the canvas, mail the canvas, mail it. We can get emails back now. We just started that. Canvas has to come back, and then you have to do a certificate of eligibles. Then the department head or appointing authority needs to interview, assess, and evaluate who the candidates are. And then they can hire from that. So that process is probably 6 to 8 weeks. And, you know, add a little on either end for other reasons. And that's if you have a competitive job that is permanent. If you have a provisional job that is open, it will depend on when the exam may be given. Is it in the hopper already to be given? Because you may not hire somebody right away for that, because they have to get in the top three in order to keep their job. So you hate to hire someone if you're not sure.
Right. Is it an electronic process or a paper process? All these steps.
A little bit of each. We have software that generates the letters that go out, but the letters do go out in physical mail. And then we are actually... Yesterday, we just started to accept email. They can scan their letters back, Canvas letters, whether they accept or not. They can scan those back to us, and so we can put them on the list or take them off the list, or they can say that are not available now, then 3 months they'll be available. So, and then we can create, again, through a software process, the certificate of eligibles.
Thank you.
Which goes.
And the city school system is still served by the City of Kingston separately?
City of Kingston has their own civil service division, yes.
So it's still separately served by, and the Kingston Consolidated Schools is still?
Yes. There, it's not ours.
Any other questions? Sherry, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next we have Bert, who's going to be talking about real property tax.
What do you want to know?
Whatever you want to tell.
I don't know. I will let you know, I believe in May, I sent Ways and Means a list of kind of every function my department, Real Property, does. I can definitely send you another copy of that, but it was at your May meeting. Real Property has five positions on that vacancy talk. We just filled the fifth position yesterday. This after being vacant for over 7 months. And it wasn't because I was holding it for 7 months. I had to wait for a test. So specific jobs like that? No, this was the real property tax specialist. So it took 7 months to fill because I had to wait for a test, a list, and then do the process. So just to follow up on that. There's two mappers, two tax service specialists, and the director. That is Real Property. They assist with assessors. Any questions the assessors have, they try to help out with that. They provide training. I know one thing at the town level, they're short of assessors in terms of they're always in need of... It's a specialty that folks don't want to get into, I don't think. But we do reach out and provide any training that's necessary. We have two mappers who produce and maintain the tax maps of Ulster County. They review subdivision maps that are filed with the county clerk prior to being filed. We also calculate municipal and special district rates. Again, in that budget, it's mostly personnel. There is money in that budget in case it's a direct correlation with the state monies. In case a town asks for some assistance with regards to, give me a second because I have it here. Where is it? Refer to it. If a town needs a appraisal done by the office, again, I have a department of five. I don't think we can do it, but there is an expense and a correlating revenue with that in the budget for Real Property.
What kind of appraisal would
there be? I mean, it's a special. We haven't had one in years. It's a special request by the town, and there's a corresponding revenue to offset at the expense because it probably would have to hire someone to do such a thing.
So is that in the contractual?
It's in the other fees for professional services. There's $8,500 there.
Probably you haven't had.
Yeah, but where's
I haven't had it in years.
Matching. I'm looking.
The revenue. The revenue is just going to be
I see the
in.
Revenue. I was just looking.
Yeah.
For the expense.
Yeah, it's in professional services.
Okay.
There's $8,500 there.
Okay.
There's additional training with the new director. They have to go through some state trainings. We do receive reimbursement for most of that trainings, but that is increased in the 19 budget.
Hector?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Bert, I guess, and I just to remind me,
because
I'm getting old and forgetful. So, I mean, does Real Property, I guess, assist you with the auction?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
I referred to that part in terms of the mapping piece. When we kind of go out with our list of what's auctions, a lot of people want to see what the maps look like. So there's that assistance there. They do help with, they provide anyone a map book if they want to look at the book itself of the maps. So we do work hand in hand together when it comes to the auction.
Okay. What other departments, I guess, assist you with
the auction? IS does on the technical side of things to run the auction.
I'm sorry, what's that?
IS, in terms of the day of the auction, they're setting up equipment for us. Otherwise, it's my department.
Okay. So at no point is Department of the Environment or Planning interacting
well,
with you?
Well, we always send them a list in terms of those because there could be, you know, we're always reviewing those with environmental issues. On the county attorney, too, in terms of that. The planning side, there may be something when it comes to a property kind of near a rail trail or something like that. Instead of us selling it, the county may want to keep it. There's always that side of things in terms of that's a year-round.
And sometimes the county puts liens on property, too, for DSS, is that?
That's through DSS, yeah.
But did they notify you? Because sometimes those get put on and are pulled off, right?
Because of a DSS lien, no.
No?
No.
Okay, so mm-hmm. So DSS is willing to take a percentage?
They don't, to be honest with you, because it's kind of, they don't. They don't take a percentage of anything when it comes to that.
They don't take I mean, and I didn't even know we put liens on property. Mm-hmm. I just found that out because one of my constituents
through DSS. Yep.
Got help with funeral services mm-hmm. and put a lien on their house, which I didn't realize that we do, so.
My guess is that's through the state process.
Yeah. Is that really? So the state would?
Probably something they have to do.
I've never heard of it.
So they got indigent burial services?
Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
They have indigent burial services? Is that what they got?
They got, yeah. Well, and they did.
And they went indigent because they own a house. So that's probably what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bert, is there any collaboration and assessment in towns in Elsa County?
I mean, there's some assessors who work for multiple towns. But they're independent in terms of what
so
they do.
No effort to coordinate assessment through or by the county.
No.
Does that happen elsewhere?
Yes. But it's not done. It's very hard to do by transferring the function because there's a constitutional requirement.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people are doing it by contract.
Yeah, I mean, I know they do contract.
The county mm-hmm. and,
I would just need more staff.
Right, but in that term, it might be less cost.
Yeah.
If there was a charge mm-hmm. back to the town.
Right.
A lot of towns don't want to give up that the responsibility. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They would rather have it in-house.
Yeah, they want
to, I think Orange County does something.
They want to go in and talk to the assessor.
Yes, you should.
Yeah, I think Orange County does something similar to that.
Part of it,
not fully.
Scarlet County does the whole thing.
Yeah.
Countywide assessing.
Pardon me?
Countywide assessing. Big conversation.
Holy Grail.
That is a good conversation.
Anything else on the real property side? I can go to the other stuff.
$9 million the last time we came up. It's closer to 14 now.
Any other questions regarding real property?
You got a net out what you're paying already. I understand you're interested in the subject.
Finance?
Finance?
No, go to finance.
Anything on real property?
Just with real property. Where would the revenues be from the actual sales? I mean,
it's the Department of Finance.
It's in finance. It's in finance. Yeah.
That's what I mean. When I noticed, obviously, I mean, I knew this before anyway, but when I when I saw that there was even a property revenue of $5,000, I was just like, well, I know the revenue is reflecting the Department of Finance, but what is even that $5,000?
There's one revenue in terms of associated with the auction, which would be any sales of map books. It's minimal in terms of what we have in that.
So that's the revenue gap.
Yeah. And on the map side, too. If there's any maps that are requested, there's a charge.
Do you have GIS capacity in other departments?
IS.
They're the lead with that. Planning.
Planning.
Yeah.
Environment.
Yeah.
Health department.
Yeah.
Emergency management.
We'll list them all.
So you must have about 8 or 10 professional GIS people in the
government. Not that many. I think there's that many, but there's a lot of experts.
They're mainly housed at IS.
Yeah. A handful, maybe.
GIS experts.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Richie. I get out of control. Sorry.
That's all right. We'll put you back
in. But there's a lot of
staff. Put you back in the cage.
GIS people.
Right.
All right, Bert.
Finance
has a hiring GIS resources. So if there's any slack, there's a potential there.
We've talked to towns in the past, and we've talked in particular about working with them, and we do provide some help to towns.
Lumber.
In terms of what finance is responsible for, it's a small increase, but just so you're aware, we do pay for court-appointed interpreter services. You'll see that's up in the budget. Again, it's small, but it is up. It's a requirement that we have to pay the interpreters, and we pay. It's $22,500. It's in Department 1162. In terms of finance, payroll-wise, this year I've had four staff retire. After kind of they retired, I looked and we did kind of do some job duty juggling, and we have removed a junior accountant from the finance budget. I'm one of a few departments who my regular pay is down from last year. So with the CSEA increases, my regular pay is still down. New hires, and the fact is I did get rid of a position. In terms of what I have specifically in my budget, probably the biggest expenses have to do with bond and note sales, process of going through that. I have to pay just a rating agency alone, it's $15,500. Just to get a rating, which I'm required to do. I also pay our fiscal advisors. Printing of the official statement costs money on the bond sale. The other expense my department has to do with title searches. I have a title search contract. I have to do a initial title search and then an update. Each one of those is a fee. Otherwise, in terms of what I have budgeted, my contractual expenses are up roughly $20,000 from the prior year. Again, the biggest increase, I have $25,000 for our vendor who provides us Airbnb information. That is the increase that I have in my kind of contractual expenses.
That's in professional services?
Yeah, it's in the professional service line.
$25,000, and how much revenue have we realized off of that expense?
So far, it's over probably $30,000.
And is that $25,000 an annual expense?
It's going to be an annual expense, yeah. I guess at some point I could say, you know, I have enough information, but I probably will do it on an annual basis.
Okay. Bert, can I ask this?
Sure.
The state aid number at the bottom, is that's casino money?
Yeah. On the revenue side, I will say the biggest, there's a couple of accounts that I've reduced, one being that state aid line, which is casino revenue. I think I mentioned when we met with Jerry that we budgeted $1.5 million, which was conservative. Until I get more information, more kind of trends, I reduced it to 6.25, which kind of looks like what we're going to get this year. May come in a little higher and a little lower, but they're quarterly checks we receive. Actually, wires. One increase in the revenue side, interest and earnings is up. We did change banks. It's a healthy thing because I'm not getting charged any fees and I'm getting interest on the county's money. So
that's use of money and property?
It's in use of money and property, yes. That's an increase there.
Plus rates up. Probably going to go up.
Yes, so. And the bank kind of, with any interest rate hikes, they'll adjust our interest rate as well. One revenue that is down is interest and penalties, which would be part of your real property tax items. I reduced it in the 18 budget, but it's a good thing because more people are paying their taxes on time.
And the sale of the property 3270, that's the auction you have, right?
Sale of property 3270?
Yeah, on revenue.
That's
the sale of county property.
Yeah, just minor sales. That's not our auction. Our auction property is in the real property tax items.
Aren't we having a sale of county property this year?
That's surplus. That doesn't go in my budget.
Okay. But so this $1 million, was that the almshouse, or what was that?
No, that's... Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It was the almshouse, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why then it's just zeroed out after.
Right, yep.
What did we actually realize on? That's what we actually
realized. Yep.
They had to in order to keep up.
So non-property tax items, is that, where's the sale of the auction?
That's in third. Well, no, you're talking about the auction, Lynn?
Yeah.
That's in 3010, the real property tax items.
Oh, it's in there.
Yeah. That interest and penalties in there, and also any pilot payments are in that.
Is there a breakdown of this in the system?
It's on the, it's in the report, yeah. I mean, Amber, you can run the breakdown of that, or just the detail. Yeah, just the detail. All right.
Can we get that?
And to tag on to that, if I can, for the specificity of the number of pilots.
Hector, I don't have the number of pilots, but in terms of the revenues, 265,000. I can give you the number in terms of the number of pilots.
And the professional services, yeah, that's me.
And professional services?
Yeah.
Bert, can I ask you one more question about the Airbnb? I realize it's so minor, but just in terms of an expense and at the moment a revenue. But the information that we get from them, do we own that information now? Or do we have some kind of contractual arrangement with them that because it's their software and whatever that it's their...
We own it. Yeah, we own it.
It's a very in and out problem though, because people start doing, they stop doing it.
Yeah.
They do part of the year.
And I will say, in terms of that, the vendor on a monthly basis updates that, because there's people who take it down and put it back up. So I'm always getting updates.
So I'm looking through here and I'm just a little confused. You said your salary's down. I see, 1.4. Then I see on page 33, 1.7, 1.8. What's included here that's not included in...
Well, I say regular pay because that's where salaries are. Longevity is included in payroll. There's part-time pay, but that didn't go up either. My regular pay went down, which is strictly salaries.
Which is on page 31.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, and then 33 is the contractual increases.
Hey, to be honest with you, I don't have. Can I just look at your budget? I have the detail in front of me, and I apologize. I went detail. So.
I'm just trying to understand the difference. Oh, ACE is not included in your. Oh,
they are.
I think
They're part of my payroll.
Yeah, but I think that's what's
okay.
creates the change on 33, I think.
Well, not just in terms of, there's also another position in assigned counsel.
Yeah, that was the other question I had. What is that?
It's a person who, besides, actually I have her doing two things. One is to take care of any hotel motel registrations and process any checks, but she also processes any payments to do with 18B. That's why I have $1 million that I'm obligated to pay for assigned counsel.
You mean you're obligated to pay $1 million?
Not, it adds up to $1 million. If the public defender can't represent someone and there's a conflict, it ends up being through my office that I have to make that payment for the attorney's work. It's $60 for a misdemeanor and it's $75 an hour for a felony.
For hotel motel.
No, this person does two things in my office.
Okay.
One is to process any of those 18B vouchers.
Okay.
The other piece is through the Airbnb hotel motel kind of registrations.
Hector?
Thank you. Well, let Tracy go first.
So, a couple questions. So, on that person, again, just in trying to understand the Airbnb, because if we spend $25,000 a year and we get $40,000 in, but now we're finding out that there's a portion of this person's work.
But she also does hotel motel overall, which I have $1.5 million budget.
So, how do you break out how her work time is spent over those different
quarterly returns with... In terms of hotel motel, so maybe a week she'll take care of hotel motel.
Yeah,
everything else is assigned. I have so many vouchers; it's not even funny when it comes to 18.
But I'm saying in terms of the Airbnb portion of her work.
It's in terms of
you telling me someone was.
I mean, my thing is with the Airbnb, we have registrations coming in all day and every day until they get kind of done. It's a daily process. But in terms of the quarterly returns that they're required to send. It's on a quarterly basis. So it's like that week in the month where they're due, She's processing the checks and the cash receipts.
But that's for all.
For all of them. Motion. Right, for all of them.
Airbnb is a tiny, tiny
right.
piece of that.
I have a million. What do I have? Almost $1.7 million budgeted for hotel motel in 19.
But the number isn't the important part. The number of transactions is the important part. You know what I mean? If you could have one hotel that's
all right.
spending.
She has to mail out all these returns and we have to receive them too.
Right.
But the vouchers on 18B, it's enormous.
And 18B again, you're
saying is that million
council?
Yes.
The one.
It's $1 million
so
during
this,
the year.
Let me just understand that this number, because I was going to ask about the change mm-hmm. from 16 to 17 in particular, and then the sustained number, but this number is not something that's flexible, that's dictated by demand,
I mean, right.
and whatever it is, we
correct.
Have to pay it.
Yep.
And so that's what it is,
yes.
and that's based on
right. Based on what I've been spending, yep.
Could you just...
And does it... Does it make sense that it lives in finance versus... I mean,
where else could it? We've been down. It can't live in public defender or the county attorney's office.
It can't.
So, as I say, a lot of times when in doubt, give it to finance.
We have an offsetting revenue for that.
There is no revenue. So there used to be a revenue associated with that. The state took that away.
When they funded the other
things. They funded things through the public defender's office.
Right. So it's entirely county charge?
Yeah, there is an appeals revenue for any... appeals vouchers that are submitted that I receive, but we're talking like $20,000.
I think the question, Bert, is what is an 18B?
He's an attorney in the room.
Let's say there are three defendants in a certain case, or let's say there's one defendant, but...
A lot of it's family court related, I will let you know, too.
Right. So, yeah. If the public defender if they're conflicted out and they can't defend the person either because it's a multi-defendant case and they are defending one of the defendants, we have a conflict defense agreement with Dutchess County. So for public defense, sometimes Dutchess County picks that up. But if there's three defendants, right, then we have to pay these 18B. Mm-hmm. Also on family court, if the public defender is representing one party yeah. for family court, they can't represent the other party, so that's assigned counsel. And the judge assigns the counsel, whether it's the family court judge or the county court judge or Supreme Court, and it goes off of an 18B panel. Mm-hmm. Attorneys sign up, they get onto the panel, and then they kind of...
Yep.
Got it.
Right.
Thank you.
Sorry. Hector?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, out of curiosity, Bert, because ACE is also under your purview,
mm-hmm.
When was the last, report, we had from them examining a county department?
Hector, you missed the Ways and Means when Lisa was here explaining what they do.
What one of their functions is.
Their job isn't to do kind of any audits or reporting that way.
But when they were formulated, part of it was that they were going to be looking at departments, not for like auditing functions, that's why no. we have a controller, but mm-hmm. for to go and look for either consolidations, efficiencies, other mm-hmm. things in between. So I'm just asking, when was the last
There's time? Not a formal report, no. There hasn't been one.
Okay.
Tracy?
Speaking of ACE, in the ACE, what is it, ACE professional services line, and why?
Corporate compliance.
Hmm?
Corporate compliance contract.
So, and what is that contract? I thought ACE does corporate compliance. You're saying
just asked me what it's corporate compliance officer is in ACE, but they have a consultant under contract.
To meet all the legal requirements right. that go along with that responsibility.
You're saying we're not allowed to do it in-house legally?
We don't have the expertise in-house legally to do it. It's highly specialized. It deals with people that understand Medicaid billing and... the technicalities amongst various departments, including social services, mental health, health.
So why did it jump? Why did it double between 17? You know, cost 17
did
RFP cost of business.
What were we doing in 17?
We hadn't done. We hadn't done an RFP for a few years. Mm-hmm. We did an RFP, and we got two respondents. But the company that we retained, which was Bonadio, they increased their costs. Which is sometimes what happens it's a professional service, so we had been sort of negotiating with them for a couple of years. And then when we decided to go out, they increased their costs, and we negotiated them down from what their initial proposal was. in the RFP, but it's still increased from the past.
Can I get a copy of that RFP? I just want to see exactly, and the response as well. I'm curious what they think. Well,
compliance with what? Compliance with federal regulation? Or?
Yes, mainly on health care.
Medicaid.
Paybacks, Medicaid, Medicare.
Yeah. So that there's...
We do less now that we don't have, you know...
Jerry, anyone who bills Medicaid services is required to have a formal corporate compliance plan with a committee and an officer.
To make sure that they're not ever being revoked.
That we're checking to make sure that we don't do business with vendors that are banned from Medicaid.
And, that has to...
There's no fraud.
Does that have to be somebody who's not an employee of the county?
No, the consultant that we use provides technical expertise to our compliance committee.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And they are employees, and we have a compliance officer.
Yeah, the minutes are
who's part of my department.
In ACE?
Yes. The deputy is the compliance officer, corporate compliance officer.
But the compliance officer, you're saying, is not technically qualified to do the work we have to get out?
No.
I don't think anybody would.
There's a lot of nuance.
He coordinates all the functionality of the compliance committee and all the legwork that goes with that, but we need help with, real legal, technical aspects of... the compliance issues, Medicaid billing, et cetera, that we do not have that expertise in.
It's a big risk avoidance deal.
The consultant works with several other state or counties and municipalities, knows what's going on, knows big picture
And it's not just a government function. Any healthcare provider in New York State has a similar compliance committee and follows the same guidelines and regulations.
Anyone else?
Just a concern, even the community college, SUNY came out with new rates for college chargebacks, which my department's responsible for. I did increase the budget by $200,000. It's in Department 2490. My concern, did I increase it enough? I don't know, because it's all based on rates at the... I increased it based on our other community colleges that we have to pay for, which is Dutchess County and Orange County. I believe one college went up over 30%.
What under what?
It's under it's page. Give me a second here.
This is for Ulster.
Page 74.
What this is for.
This is when a county resident goes to another college.
Yeah.
We basically, I get aggravated because all we're doing is moving the money between different counties. That's what we're doing.
FIT is expensive.
It is, but in terms of their increase, not as percentage wise, not as much as to our neighbors to the east of us.
It's also a matter of numbers.
It is.
In the day, while FIT might be more expensive.
Right, but how many people do I have going?
You've got easily what? Like a couple hundred or whatever going over to Dutchess from
and that's why I did. My concern is I increased it. Did I increase it enough? I don't know. We'll have to see how it pans out.
What is it increased to?
I increased it $200,000.
I know.
From 3.9, it's $3.9 million that the county expends to other counties. And the
and
big.
How much do we get back?
$75,000.
Wow.
Yeah, because I take it back. It's rare, or it is more rare. For
I will say
to
the county. We only get the capital charge, which is $150, kind of a student. Mm-hmm. We receive that. The community, Ulster County Community College, receives money from, if somebody's residing in Dutchess that goes there, they receive that. The county does not.
That's why it's so imperative to have.
Keep it
satellite
here.
Down
keep
in the southern part
there
of
you go.
County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish in Marlboro.
I would too, but
it never worked. We did it. Sorry.
You did what?
We did that.
You got a satellite?
We debated opening a place down in Walk Hill. We debated opening a place in Marlboro and Island.
But it is a concern.
If they came to the bridge, we had a magnet and they couldn't get across, their car would stick to the building.
It didn't work.
They wanted to go to Dutchess.
Now there's a plan that to try to consolidate in high school seniors from New Paltz, Highland, Walk Hill, and Marlboro.
The best plan they had, my judgment, was to put their teachers in the high schools for the senior year of high school and start giving them community college classes so they would think they were staying in the same college when they stayed in Ulster County Community. They feel they already started. And I know they were doing that in Walthill High School. And they reported, and they wanted us, they wanted some, you know about it, because they wanted some space on our campus, which we couldn't do because we didn't have the space. But they wanted to get into the people's heads before they changed, you know, before they got out of high school, so they continue in Ulster County. Mm-hmm. But it's a big, it's a massive problem. We had another big problem where we were educating, sorry, this is ancient history, but we were educating prisoners who were from Brooklyn, Queens, etc. And we billed that back to New York City. But we never got a dime.
What are you running at today with regards to chargebacks?
I have $1.8 million right now, but it doesn't include the fall semester, which is when the new rates kicked in.
Okay. Hector?
Thank you. So, I want you to be able to kind of finish the rest of your presentation.
Sure. No problem.
No. But I do actually want to go back to the auction whenever we get a chance. So I don't.
Go back. I have no problem.
Let's go back.
Go back.
Let him finish.
Back.
Okay.
Go back.
So, and while I realize again, this is another one that may not exactly have an exact answer, but considering how much we quote unquote. And this is not the best terms, but we're gonna run with it. Make at the auction versus how much is owed at taxes. Mm-hmm. What is that? And again, I'm not taking into consideration the loss of dollars from previous years. We can get into a discussion of real time value of money, but not right now. But you know, how much do we sort of make year after year, percentage or not percentage wise, but just in general on the tax?
That revenue is what we make.
No. But how much?
It's roughly $900,000 I have for 19 as a guesstimate. Mm-hmm. We hover around between $800,000 and $1 million
over tax, over the owed taxes.
Right, over the owed taxes. Yeah.
And but so you know.
Again, I ask, you know, what am I going to sell next year?
I'm not disputing that. But it becomes at a certain point where, you know, we quote unquote. I mean, we could safely say, you know, half of that is.
Expense?
No. I'm saying is profit, right? It's at half of the half of your 900 or a million is almost just pure profit.
Yeah.
that we get back. Because I'm saying because there's all these other incidentals that we
postage.
Put into this.
Both, I bring a postage which isn't in my budget. It's in purchasing.
Sure.
And again, it's the postage is one. My staff. I have two folks whose job it is to enforce these things. Mm-hmm. They not only work on current year's auction, which is coming up, they're working on prior stuff. I had a lady come in today. She wanted to buy 5 old properties. It's just what we're, and then we're looking even out to the following year.
Sure.
So staff time, your title searches, which is part of my budget. Okay. We do recoup that when we sell the property. You're probably right, Hector. I've never, you know, looked into it, but maybe half. I get where you're going.
Yeah, but yeah, also other half is the.
But I also remember, you know, my thing to you is, what isn't sold that's still out there.
And I'm not here to go.
No, I'm just giving you because I'm still making the towns and school districts whole on those properties.
Property and if there is, you know, if on top of that, there's some sort of environmental situation with regards to
absolutely.
It. You may never be selling.
Which,
it. I'm not
right.
Here to go and
no,
say,
no.
You know,
I agree with you.
But it's more of the conceptualizing at a certain point that, you know, with what is made, you know, you can't just look at that number and say, oh, we make $900,000. But you can look at it and go and say that at a certain point, you know, we are sort of making money on it. Sort of.
At
some level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the degree is just...
Well, the degree is a lot less than the $1 million that's there.
No. Absolutely. And at a certain point, I'm not saying right now, but at a certain point, we should begin to try to quantify that.
Okay.
It's you'd have to take salaries in county attorneys. I mean, you'd have to take a bunch into
account.
But
we should understand what the...
Well, we should, and on top of that, you know...
No, it's something I can definitely work on.
Go and push back, but
I understand.
How much time and whatever. Mm-hmm. Meaning, yes, at a certain point, you could begin to kind of go assign value.
Well, I'm talking about the foreclosures.
But on top of that, though, these are also functions that we would have to do to a certain degree in order to recoup even just the basic taxes, period. So meaning, so while that work is, yes, it should be accounted for, we also have to conceptually also understand that you'd be doing some of those functions anyway, simply because you need to make back what's owed on the taxes. So meaning, so you can't go and claim that the whole amount of time spent by County Attorney X on this particular project is solely in the profit pieces. It's also in the part that we're recouping the actual taxes. So, anyway. Mm-hmm.
But you're also, is there a lag in a year? I mean, you're paying the towns back, and then you put it in auction, right?
Mind you, 3 years back taxes. So right. for that property,
it,
so
yeah,
that,
I know it has to be 3 years. Yeah,
no, right. So for that property to go to auction, granted, it could
oh,
just be the
it every year.
Every year, I'm making the town's whole and the school district's whole.
Okay.
So,
so it's going to be. It would be hard to really calculate so much.
I mean,
how much is the typical making the school district whole every year?
$24 million, is it?
Yeah, it's roughly that. And you know, in terms of the city school district, granted, they're another animal. Yeah,
every
2 years,
year.
I kind of make that tax whole.
So. Laura.
And, well, this is off budget, but I've never been clear on. You know, why, since the schools have their own boards and determine their own taxes, et cetera, why the county's offering so much in services. I mean, as far as making them whole, taking
that's
on
requirement
the
under the law, state law. I wish I was Westchester County.
We auction it, right? We make them whole
right.
so that we try to recruit,
right.
as opposed to splitting up the money. It,
right. right.
But then also out of purchasing.
Oh, yeah, they got postage.
Take care of.
Absolutely.
Paying for those taxes.
Right, which is what I think is when the towns come and say that we need to give them more money on this or that, they don't understand that we are actually providing a lot of services to them.
And,
yeah. Right?
And keep in mind, the towns are making themselves whole for the most part because they are collecting our taxes first.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, in terms of the numbers, they're making themselves whole first. I get kind of, I have to go chasing those delinquent taxpayers.
Okay, thank you.
There's historic reasons for it in the 19th, late 19th century. You don't want to know that.
Actually, because I just
because you're like Westchester County.
Well, that's what I said. If I was Westchester County, Westchester County is complete opposite. The school districts and the towns make Westchester County whole. And it's as clear. I mean, it's completely opposite in the state tax law.
That's why they have such a great bond rating.
That's right.
And it's not fiscal
yeah.
management.
Their bond rating is because they get their they collect their taxes.
They get it first.
They get it first.
They get it first.
So they have no arrearage.
Does the town ever have to pay the county back?
In terms of at the end of when I settle with them, they write me a check, but it's my taxes they write me a check for.
No, if you made them whole, if you made a property whole.
But there's corrections. I mean, there's corrections of bills, certiorarios. That,
the issue
you know,
is they have no incentive for proper assessment because if they maintain a high assessment, then the county comes along and has to make them whole on the tax collection.
Yeah.
And so there's
they would owe me for that.
Discontinuity. So you have to have a very professional assessor and you have to make sure that...
Keyword being proper. I heard that.
But yeah, there are times where the town does kind of have to reimburse me for that.
Operating partial.
Any other questions for Bert?
You want to talk sales tax?
Every year.
Yes.
All right.
Million and you're
sure.
Worried about 900.
That's responsibility finance. We do distribute sales tax and also collect it via the state. There is an significant increase in the budget from 1 year to the next with regards to sales tax. You have to remember when I project a caution, I always give you the cautionary tale. My projection is based on receipts as of June. So I have 6 months of receipts with what the estimate is in the budget. In terms of conservative, I try to keep it conservative, but I also know if I'm too conservative, then I'm doing a disservice to the taxpayers. The towns receive their 3% share of that sales tax. It's distributed by the equalized value. The only other way the county can do it is via population. City of Kingston, that is with the agreement of the city. City of Kingston is getting, I have to remember the agreement, the 19 budget's based on what they're going to estimate what they're receiving this year. That's what the agreement is. So whatever they end up getting this year in terms of sales tax is what they will receive next year. Going through the other parts of the budget, the one benefit that my office is required to kind of handle is retirement. I know the New York State Comptroller came out and said that the retirement stayed flat. Most of their rates stay flat. The biggest tier is tier 4 we have here in the county. That rate went up slightly, so, you know, if you kind of grouped all the retirement bill, it did go up slightly, but not, you know, kind of did go up a couple hundred thousand. We're talking probably about $100,000 or something like that. With retirement, there's a revenue in the retirement division. It's from the college because I pay their bill, and then I bill them back. So you'll see that revenue in the retirement kind of department 9010 is state retirement. In terms of the bond payments schedule, that's in debt service, and our bond payments are in the general fund. I budget for both every year.
Question. How do you handle the tax flow of $24 million without borrowing?
I'm sorry?
How do you handle the cash flow of $24 million without borrowing?
Just good cash management is what that comes down to.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And I will say, December, January, I'm moving money around between, you know, I do deposit in different banks because I'm not collecting taxes then. So February, towns get a little reminder, oh, by the way, when you make yourself whole, I'm owed money. So I start receiving town monies in February. I keep track of when they kind of make themselves whole, too, because I follow up with them in case they don't. You know, sometimes they have amnesia as to, did I write that check last year to you? Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Well, short term, they can make money the longer they
correct. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I will say when I do settle with them, we do kind of ask them if they've earned interest on that. We proportion it out based on the two tax warrants.
Any other questions for Bert?
Good job.
Thank you.
Before we close, any questions? If not, I'd like to just a couple of things. First of all, it's Craig's birthday today, so happy birthday, Craig.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Secondly,
I figured I'd share it with
everyone today. Oh, beautiful children.
Secondly, we have our consultant here, Jerry Benjamin. Jerry, you're going to be making a report to the full committee.
I have one more piece to get done. It's almost at hand. We'll be giving a report on the 7th.
Right. And then the thing is, in your contract, there's three areas that we would ask you to do more in-depth study. You are not doing those three areas yet.
We're going to do those after the submission because it's impossible to complete the work.
I understand, but that's going to come based on what we tell you the areas to look at.
Right. The agreement is that we will do up to three areas in depth at your request, and we will do short-term quick hits if you need us to during the course of the conversation. Mm-hmm. We already have somebody doing that.
Okay.
We're doing it very well, but we agreed to do that if you want us to.
Mm-hmm.
So the report's going to be on the range of revenues, expenditures, debt, and debt management in the budget. It's going to be on the budget process, which we contracted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right, descriptive analysis of the budget process and the budget document.
I'm sure you'll do a great job. Thank you for coming today. Any other questions?
No.
Thank you, everybody, for coming today.
Thank you.
And Craig, enjoy your birthday tonight. Have a good time.
Thanks.
I sent you the
motion to adjourn.
Okay.
I sent you the
property. Yeah, I know you told me the name, but I think.